Today on Roadmap to Success with Pastor Neil.
The New Testament prophet does not prophesy new things to individuals, but they confirm what God has already dealt with you through the Holy Spirit.
In this week's lesson, Pastor Neil dives deeper into the message, Our Divine Next, exploring the progressive nature of God's plan and the role of prophetic voices in guiding believers. He highlights that God's plan is progressive. It unfolds in stages, each step aligned with His perfect timing, though we may not always see the full picture. He noted that sometimes God's plan can be misinterpreted due to the wrong prophetic voice. While prophetic voices remain crucial today, he reminds us that the Holy Spirit must be our ultimate guide. Pastor Neil also emphasized that a true prophetic voice must announce God's plan to his people, agree with his word, and alert believers to God's passion and priorities. Divine guidance is available, but believers must learn to discern and trust God's process. No matter how unclear the future seems, His plan is advancing. Let's listen to Pastor Neil in this week's lesson, Our Divine Next, Part 3.
Today, I want to focus on the same Israelites, but this time, the plan that God had for them when they were in Babylon. Are you ready to go on the journey? And today I'll be breaking a lot of error that sometimes Christians have picked up on the way. Verses we read out of its context, we will address them and then we will pay attention. I will also deal with the prophetic ministry and the craziness that goes around, and we will look into God's word and we will allow God's word to correct it. Is that okay? So what is God's plan for the Israelites in Babylon? Pastor, I am not an Israeli, I get that. But God also has a plan for you. And as we study, you will begin to see what God has for you. What was the plan of God for the Israelites in Babylon? And if it's okay with you, I want you to read with me, what was the plan of God for the Israelites? What was God's plan for the Israelites in Babylon? It was a deliberate strategy. It was what? Read with me, shall we? Come on, everybody go. God's plan is a deliberate strategy intended to lead the Israelites towards prosperity and to provide them with a hopeful future. But they will first have to spend 70 years in captivity. God wanted to prosper them. God wanted to give them a future and a hope. But first, they had to spend 70 years. Now, I want you to imagine somebody who was born as soon as Jeremiah proclaimed it, and his lifespan was 69 years old. It means that person would live his entire life in what? Captivity. But God says, I'm going to bring a lot of changes, but that will be after 70 years. But in the midst of it, I will still bless my people. Amen? And I want you to keep a very good perspective of how God functions, all right? So now, we want to begin to examine this plan in detail. So everybody go with me to the book of Jeremiah, and I'll be reading several verses from the book of Jeremiah. We will start from Jeremiah 25. The only reason the Israelites landed in Babylon was because they had sinned against God. And God says, whenever you sin against me, you're not going to go scot-free. Everybody listen very carefully. How many of you like favor? Let me see your hands. How many of you like favor? I want you to be very careful, because anybody God favors, He requires so much from them. He requires them to live a certain way to please them. So let us not just run around and say, I'm favored. If you are favored, you must walk in purity. If you are favored, you must live the way God wants you to what? Walk. And you will begin to see it here. These were the favored people of God. And God says, I am going to punish you because you have done something against me. Are you in Jeremiah 25? Let's pick up from the third verse. I'll read to the 8th verse and then we'll jump to verse 12. For 23 years from the 13th year of Josiah, son of Amon, king of Judah, until this very day, is Jeremiah speaking now, the word of the Lord had come to me and I have spoken to you again and again, but you have not listened. And though the Lord has sent all his servants, the prophets, to you again and again, you have not what? Listened or paid any attention. They said, turn now, each of you, from your evil ways and your evil practices. You can stay in the land the Lord gave to you and your ancestors forever and ever. Do not follow other gods to serve and worship them. Do not arouse my anger with what your hands have made. Then I will not harm you. These are the favored people of God. But you did not listen to me, declares the Lord, and you have aroused my anger with what your hands have made, and you have brought harm to yourselves. In other words, God is saying you kept worshiping idols. Verse 8, therefore, the Lord Almighty says, because you have not listened to my words, thus and thus and thus will happen to you. You're going to go into captivity, and you will live there for that long. Look at verse 12. But when 70 years are fulfilled, I will punish the king of Babylon. The person who God used to punish his people, he will punish the punisher. I'll punish the king of Babylon and his nation and the land of the Babylonians for their guilt, declares the Lord. And I will make it what? Desolate. God says, this is my plan for my people. Let's listen to what the prophets who were also there saying, go to chapter 28. I'm laying a foundation we will start studying soon. Jeremiah 28. There was a prophet well known called Hananiah. He proclaimed something different. Are you in Jeremiah 28? Let's read the first three verses. In the fifth month of that same year, that is the same year that the prophet Jeremiah proclaimed the word of the Lord, the fourth year, early in the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, the prophet Hananiah, son of Azor, who was from Gibeon, said to me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priest and all the people. So he is counteracting the prophetic word that had come through who? Jeremiah the prophet. Verse 2, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Jeremiah says God is speaking. This guy is also saying God is speaking. Who should we listen to? They all say God. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 years, I will bring back to this place all the articles of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, removed from here and took to Babylon. Pause. Let me ask all of you a question. If a prophet came and said you will suffer for 70 years, and one says it's only 2 years, which one would you take? So I want you to start putting yourself into the text, because it's very easy to look at them and say they are crazy people, because we will do pretty much the same thing. Here are two prophets. Everybody claims God is speaking. This is why we need to be careful what we are following in our day, because whenever you want to hear anything, you will get a prophet to tell you something. God steps in and he tells the prophet Jeremiah, tell that dude I have not sent him. So God begins to declare his plan. Look at Jeremiah 29. Right? So we started from 25, then we're in 28. I'm just picking portions. When you have a time, read all of them. We're in chapter 29 now. Look at from verses 4 to verse 7. God is now speaking to the prophet Jeremiah. He says, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses. Settle down. Plant gardens. He says, not just because you are in captivity, you must live as if everything is over. Because he is still God. He's punishing you, but he's still going to work in your life. He says, build houses, settle down, plant gardens, eat what they produce, marry, have sons and daughters. In other words, be fruitful. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. 70 years. But this is what will be happening. Verse 7, also seek the peace and the prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will what? Some of you, all you do is you pray for Africa. Pray for this country. Because if this country prospers, you will. If it suffers. Let's pick up from verse 8 to verse 9. God is still speaking again. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and the diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to their dreams, the dreams you encourage them to have. He says, the dreams you. So God is saying, you people, you are the ones who make the prophets say the things they say. Church members, help us all. I am one of those people who have decided whether you help me or not, I'll still speak the truth. But help the rest who sometimes want to feel you before they speak. I ain't going to feel you. I'll come and declare to you, thus saith the Lord. Like Jeremiah, whether you like it. Can you believe Jeremiah is standing here, says 70 years, and Hananiah is standing here, and they are both saying, thus saith the Lord. What do you think people would do to Jeremiah? I said, as for you, all you give us is bad words. So God says, do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. Verse 9, they are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them. Verse 10, let's pick it up. I know it's the one that we are all getting ready to like. Ready, go. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promises to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. These were words that were spoken to people who spent 70 years in captivity. Stop claiming stuff anyhow. Because some of us, the pain and the suffering God is taking us through, we are running away from it. So you don't qualify for that. Go through it, then after that you can claim that. Are you here with me? So you notice that there are three principles we want to learn. Please write it down, because throughout the detailed plan, God says, no, don't pay attention to the prophets. This is what I'm going to do. You have sinned against me. I'm taking you to the land because I'm punishing you. For 70 years, you'll be there. But after that, I will show you I've got some good plans for you. Three principles. Principle number one, that God's plan is based on God's time, not your time. God's plan is based on who? It's based on whose plan? God's time, not your time. The second principle we need to learn is that God's plan may look inconvenient at first, but it always has your best interest at heart. 70 years looks inconvenient, but God was up to something with them. The third principle we want to learn is that God's plan could be misconstrued because of the wrong prophetic voice you're following. Many of us, God wants to release his plan to us, but somebody else is deceiving you. Do I need to go over it again? God's plan is based on his time, not our time. Based on the popular opinion of the time, it was 2 years. They are going back. God says, no, it will be 70. Imagine those who would die in the midst of the 70. He says, build houses, marry, live life, because I will still bless you in the midst of this. Increase in number. Don't change. All right? Secondly, that God's plan may look inconvenient. Some of us, we're looking for jobs, and sometimes you notice that the process through which God is taking you looks very inconvenient. But remember that God always has your interest at heart. Always. Always. Thirdly, that we often tend to misconstrue God's plan because of the prophetic voices that we are listening to. How many of you believe I'm a prophet? I only see three hands because you only think I preach. Prophecy is twofold. It is predictive and deductive. It is foretelling and forttelling. In other words, we speak about the present, and we also speak about what? Whenever I take God's word, it is full of prophecy. When I preach it, I'm prophesying. We will hear God's word, and we will declare it, and we will still be prophesying at the same time. God's plan is not based on our time. God's plan may be inconvenient at first, but God has you at heart, your interest at heart. And God's plan could be misconstrued because of the prophetic voice. So let us now delve deep, because it is important for you to understand as a New Testament saint that in the Old Testament, the people only depended on prophets to hear the voice of God. And if there was the Holy Spirit who was in them so that they could declare the word, and in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is in all of us, should we continue to hear from prophets? The answer is yes, because the prophetic ministry is still here. But do we do the same dimension that sometimes you hear people say, I'm going to the prophet? It is wrong. Because the New Testament prophet has no authority to give direction, because it's only the Holy Spirit who guides. Are you here with me? We want to balance scripture today. So I want us to just go into it. How can we judge the prophetic voice? When somebody speaks the word of God and then they declare that this is a prophetic word, how can we judge it? First of all, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 20 to 21 tells us not to treat prophecies with contempt. Don't treat prophecies with what? Contempt. In other words, don't ignore it. Don't disrespect it. Because the other side of the extreme is that many believers today, because there are so many false prophets, they tend to disrespect a prophetic word. Don't do that. Right? Should I read it? He says, do not treat prophecies with what? Contempt. But test them all. Test them all. And hold on to what is good. 1 John chapter 4, if you read verses 1 to 6, he said, beloved, there are many false prophets that have gone into the world, so test the spirit behind the prophetic word. Are you guys with me? So I don't want you to stand here and say, Pastor said we should just get rid of prophets. No. We ought to keep a balance here. There are good prophets and there are Hananis of our day who only prophesy based on popular opinion that people wanted to go back and he gave them a word to fit it. Child, if you are suffering somewhere, at work, in marriage, maybe with sickness, don't look for prophecy to validate your problem. Hear God and know his plan for your life. Because sometimes God may choose not to heal the body. Yeah, it's not something we like to hear. You'll be like the 70 years in Babylon, but he says in the midst of it, you'll be able to marry. In the midst of it, you'll be able to have children. In the midst of it, you will not decrease. You will what? Increase. That is his plan. And we must know God's plan. Every prophetic voice will do four things. Write it down. Every prophetic voice will announce the plan of God. It will agree with the promises of God. It will alert the people of God to God's passion. And it will activate the power of God. Now, I'm only just alliterating. That's why I put it that way. Every prophetic word announces the plan of God. It agrees with the promises of God. The promises of God is the word of God. Every prophetic word must agree with the word of God. You can't tell me that you prophesied that God spoke to you that somebody should go and take salt. We must know that it is in the word of God. You need to be careful what you are following. In the name of prophecy. Whenever a prophecy comes, it will announce the plan of God. It agrees with the word of God. It will draw people to God, not to the prophet, to God. In other words, it alerts people to God's passion, and it will activate the word of God. In other words, that God's power will bring that word to pass. Is it okay if I walk through every single one of them? Is it okay? All right. So whilst the children of Israel are in Babylon, God has spoken his plan to them. Hanani has also come to confuse them. So they need to distinguish. And that's what we are trying to do now. How do we distinguish? Let's begin with every prophetic voice announces the plan of God. Every prophetic voice. All right. Go with me to the book of 2 Chronicles, because whilst we talk about Israel, I wanted to talk about you and me. Is that okay if you talk about me and you? In the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we see a prophet called Jehaziel, who the Spirit of God comes upon him and he announces the plan of God. Let's pick up 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Pick it up from verse 14. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite, a descendant of Asaph, as he stood in the assembly. Please remember the context. The children of Israel have been attacked. So this is the plan of God in battle. Are you with me? Now he begins to speak. He continued. He said, listen, King Jehoshaphat and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. But the battle is not yours, but the battle is not. I am speaking now to somebody today, for the battle is not yours, but it is whose? Then he gives a detailed plan. He says, tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up by the pass of Aziz. And you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions. Stand firm and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. Did you guys copy that? So we see that here is Jehaziel announcing the plan of God. Now let's go to Jeremiah and begin to look at all the plan of God that he was supposed to announce. We've read a couple of them already. Jeremiah 29, look at verse 47. He said, this is what the Almighty God says. And then he says, oh, build your houses, marry, have sons, and so on and so forth. Right? Verse 10 to verse 11, we already read that. He says, this is what the Lord says. You spent 70 years, but I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you. I wanted to pick up in chapter 30, verse 17. And if you are sick here, you can stand on your feet and begin to declare, Pastor, but I thought you said it was for the Israelites. Yes, there are promises in the Word of God that are made to certain people and certain nations, and you can claim them. Then there are promises in the Word of God. Even though it is given to other people and other nations, you can claim them. Why? Because the basis is that if you will repent and you come back to me, God says, I'm going to do that and so. That is applicable to all of us. Are you understanding what I'm saying? All right, maybe let's start from 10, 11. Maybe that's the one we all like. Come on. Anybody here who feels like your future is bleak? We read in Jeremiah 29 and verse 10 and 11. Let's read both. Ready? Go. This is what the Lord says. When some years are completed in my life, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to you. And I will bring you to the place where I want you to be. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. I'm prophesying to somebody. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Chapter 30, look at verse 17. But I will restore you to health and heal your wounds, declares the Lord, because you are called an outcast, Zion, for whom no one cares. So God is saying, yeah, people may look down on you, but I, the Lord, promises you that I will place you in an area when people look at you, they will not despise you anymore. Are you understanding where we're going? Look at chapter 31. Look at verse 16 and 17. Read with me. This is what the Lord says. Restrain your voice from weeping. This morning I'm here to tell someone, restrain your voice from weeping. Stop crying. Your eyes from tears, for your work will be rewarded, declares the Lord. They will return from the land of the enemy. So there is hope for your future, says the Lord. Sorry, I'm reading NIV, but I'm quoting from King James. There is hope for your future, says the Lord. He says, your children will come back to their own land. So God says the promise is not only just for you, it's for your children too. Are you understanding? So in this plan, we see that God is announcing his plan for the people. Go with me to the New Testament. Because I know somebody said, Pastor, you just kept reading the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we see a prophet called Agabus. Agabus comes and he does what modern day people do, where the prophecy is not given to a nation or a community, but to an individual. Right? And he gives the prophecy to Paul. Are you in Acts chapter 21? Look at verse 10 and verse 11. Read with me. Are you learning anything today? After we have been there a number of days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. Coming over to us, he took Paul's belt, tied his own hands and feet with it, and said, "The Holy Spirit says, in this way, the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem will bind the owner of this belt and will hand him over to the Gentiles." If a prophet gave you that word. But Paul meets Agabus, and that is the first word he gives. You know why Paul was not worried? And the Bible says Paul even still went back over there. Later on, you find in the course of the lesson, because Paul himself, God had told him in Acts chapter 9, "You will suffer for me." So whatever Agabus was saying was an agreement. He was not declaring something new. Some of us, we don't know what God has said. So when somebody comes and tickle your ears, all of heaven has arrived. The only way to distinguish between who is lying to you and who is actually declaring, "Thus says the Lord," is that spend time and let the Holy Spirit speak to you as a person. So it gives you an idea that a New Testament prophet does not prophesy new things to individuals, but they confirm what God has already dealt with you through the Holy Spirit. Are you here with me today? It does not mean that they do not speak new things to a community, but to an individual. The Holy Spirit is in you, and he will speak to you. The problem is that we are like the Israelites. You know how when the whole mountain was quaking, the Israelites told Moses, "Mo, this God, the way he is, we can't stand him. So you go listen and then come and what? Tell us." That's how some of us are. The Holy Spirit is resident in us. We don't want to listen. We want somebody else to come and tell us. No wonder they are giving us lies. Today you have prophets telling people, "Because your marriage is not working, the Lord wants you to marry another. I see you marrying another woman." But sometimes the will of God for you is to stay in where the objects are flying and work it out, so that one day your life will become a testimony to be able to bring others to him. Shortcut, quick fixes, is not God's way. So here we see Agabus announces the plan of God for Paul the apostle. But it was not new to him. And I want us to take time. Everybody go over into the book of Acts chapter 2. Because I want to talk about God's plan for the last days. He announces his plan for the church in the last days. Oh, I am excited about this one. Somebody said, "Pastor, what about me?" You are in the church. You are part of it. So you are part of it. Christians today, we are too individualistic. Everything is me, myself. If you are in God and in him, whatever he says for the body applies to you. Are you in Acts chapter 2? From verse 17, I'm quoting this all the way from the book of Joel, because he announces his plan. The prophet Joel speaks and he announces the plan of God for the last days. He says, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream." Are you dreaming dreams? Are you seeing visions? Because if this is God's plan and it's not happening in your life, then something ain't right. Are you here with me? Are you understanding what I'm saying? He says, even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. So he's saying that prophecy will not be limited to the prophets, but everyone who is in him, because of the residence of the Holy Spirit in you, you will be able to prophesy.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text radio to 301-696-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.